Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I've got some hugginses and kissinses, and that's only going to mean something if you heard yesterday's podcast.
I've got the death of God.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah.
Date fight!
Hello there. Welcome to Date Fight. It's the podcast where we take things that occurred on this very day, but way back when in history and that, and we pitch them against each other.
Yes, we do. We's Jake Gavine, that definitely.
Do we?
And together.
Just checking. Yes, we do.
Are
yeah, we
drawing
do.
Phalluses on the whiteboard of time to see who wants to rub them off most vigorously.
How long have you had that one up your sleeve?
No, that was just, that's just...
That was
now.
Good. That was amazing.
I'm going to take you to the 25th of March, 1811, when Percy Bysshe Shelley is expelled from Oxford University for writing an outrageous pamphlet. He'd been at the university for 2 years, attended only one lecture, but read for 16 hours a day. He published anonymously The Necessity of Atheism in 1811, but he'd already published 3 books while he'd been at university. He was only 19 years old, and he was already on his 4th book, SWAT. he published it anonymously, but he also sent copies to each and every head of all the Oxford colleges just to wind them up and to essentially he wanted to be caught. And he was hauled up before the dean, George Rowley, and the college authorities, who asked him, "What's this, you young man?" Because it was very similar to an article he'd written a couple of months before, which we didn't know about until mid-2006, but we found his practical essay on the existing state of things, which was an anti-monarchical, anti-war tract. And because he had a history of writing such inflammatory material, he was hauled before the beak and asked if he was responsible for the pamphlet. He refused to answer any questions. And so on the 25th of March, 1811, he was expelled from the university and sent down, rusticated to the place whence he came. His father intervened and they offered to readmit him as long as he'd recant his atheism and denounce it. But he refused and fell out with his father and went on to be the Shelley we all know and love, writing poems and hanging around in alpine lakes. While everyone else wrote ghost stories. That's Percy Bysshe Shelley being expelled from Oxford University and getting on with the proper stuff, like actually writing stories and poems.
Well, I've got the 20th of March, 1969.
Mm.
And it's a magical, magical time, particularly if you enjoyed the Imagine song that's been doing the rounds online. There's something very badly wrong with you. Yeah. You're very ill.
Something inside you missing.
Yes. So it's the honeymoon of John Lennon and Yoko Ono.
Mm.
And what they decide to do with it is hold their very first bed-in for peace. Ooh. With all the hugginses and kissinses.
Mm.
This is at the Amsterdam Hilton Hotel. And all the press were called and they were jolly excited because they thought, ooh, it's their honeymoon. We're going to see some hugginses and kissinses. You really have to hear yesterday's episode if you didn't. We haven't lost it. We have lost it.
Yeah, a little.
But, yeah, so they were protesting the Vietnam War.
Mm.
And so all the press showed up thinking, oh, this will be good. Here we go. And it was just them sitting there chatting about peace, which I find a little bit cringe. It's a bit like chatting about love. It's like having the word love carved in wooden letters that you buy in Homebase or a DIY store and then stick on your mantelpiece. What's that for? What do you need to remind yourself to? Like, what? Love? Like, do it!
Mine says hate. Yeah. A little balsa wood.
That's under the bed. That's under the bed. Yeah. I get it out every now and again, and it's really brilliant.
I like the fact that they got out of the bed in order to have the sheets changed every day by a maid, and there are lots of nice pictures of them standing next to the bed of peace and love and equality as a maid changes the sheets.
Brilliant. And it gave rise to bagism. Did you hear about the bagism movement?
No.
So their idea was they did this then a few days later. They insisted on being interviewed. They climbed into massive bags and sat inside the bags. And everyone was like, what are you doing? What are you? Yeah. And they said, well, this is... So, you know, you're not going to judge us by the way we look or the colour of our skin or anything because we're inside a bag, yeah? Like, yeah, but we can still pretty much work out which one of you is which. Don't I? It's not that difficult. And it just makes me think of The Audition, which if you haven't seen it, it's a Japanese horror film and it's really, really horrifying. Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
No. No.
People get really cross with Yoko Ono for splitting up the Beatles, but I think we should thank her for that, because frankly, there's enough of the Beatles.
Yeah.
They did loads of albums. We're not lacking Beatles stuff, are we?
No, that's true.
You know?
That's true.
How much more of it do you need? There are like nine albums to the big red one.
This is not a popular thing to say, but I like Paul McCartney's stuff.
On his own? You think it's
quite good, yeah. And I reckon he wrote all the good Beatles songs.
Both of them.
You know he wrote When I'm 64 when he was 15.
Well, it does sound a bit like that, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. What did you write when you were 15?
I wrote On the Necessity for Atheism 4 years before Shelley did.
You and I need a bed in. We need some hugginses and kissinses.
We need a maid to change our sheets daily and not just the sheets.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Happy birthday to... I'm going straight to the real intellectual stuff this time. Happy birthday to Andrew O'Connor. He's the...
Wow!
He was the Young Magician of the Year in 1981 and was a comedian and magician through the 1980s and was a great game show presenter in the early 1990s.
He was the absolute precursor to Stephen Mulhern.
Yes, he was on LWT's Copycat with Bobby Davro and Gary Wilmot, which gives me a chance to say all of those names, which makes me very happy.
Yeah.
He then went on to appear in Number 73 with Sandy Toksvig, Neil Buchanan and Kate Copstick, who's currently comedy critic for The Scotsman.
Yeah, with not a lot to do this summer, I suspect.
I'm not sure if he still talks to Sandy or Neil Buchanan. He was also on Art Attack as well. So he and Neil Buchanan must have had quite the relationship. He then left Number 73 to start On the Waterfront, a competing Saturday morning television programme on the BBC with Kate Copstick. And he wrote sketches and performed sketches for The Krypton Factor. He went on to start Objective Productions, which made Peep Show, The Round Show, The Real Hustle.
Why are you doing this?
It's his birthday.
Yeah, that's good. Are you done?
And Tonightly, which is the best programme ever to have been on television.
Definitely.
It's not. It was terrible. It was just the first thing I was in. That's it. We're done.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Andrew O'Connor.
Death-wise.
If you remember him,
yeah,
well done.
Yeah. Death-wise, very similar.
You got someone more significant than that, do you?
I've got the Chaz and Dave of his days, Claude Debussy. Claude Debussy, Nat!
Oh, yeah.
That's where we're supposed to be! Andrew O'Connor. Claude Debussy! He studied...
Next year, you're telling me I want allowed to do Rusty Lee.
You can do whatever you like with Rusty Lee.
I know. Mm. So it says on the internet.
At the Conservatoire de Paris, his teacher said in a report, Debussy would be an excellent pupil if he were less sketchy and less cavalier. And then a year later described him as desperately careless. And he was a bit. He started teaching a pupil called Raoul Bardac, who was the son of a Parisian banker. And he was like, oh, this is my mum. And Debussy was like, oh, yeah. And she apparently was a sophisticate, a brilliant conversationalist, and a good singer, and pretty relaxed about marital fidelity.
Oh.
Because she'd been having a good time with Gabrielle Fauré a few years earlier. And so Debussy was like, I'm having that. So he did, and he wrote to his wife from Dieppe. He wrote to her in Paris saying, I'm so sorry, but this marriage is over now. And then he came back to Paris, got his own flat. It's like, finally, you know, Pink Floyd on. Yeah. Just living his best life. and his wife then tried to kill herself. She shot herself in the chest with a revolver and survived.
Mm.
But the bullet remained lodged in her vertebrae for the rest of her life.
Oh. How was?
If you haven't heard, go on.
How was her walking and things after that? Was it?
Don't know, mate.
Okay.
Don't know, mate.
She's essentially collateral damage for this story.
Yeah. But she was the inspiration for the Genesis song, I Can't Dance. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Leaving her with a more complete musical legacy than that of Claude Debussy.
Yeah, definitely, mate. If you haven't heard L'Île Joyeuse, it's really worth hearing. It's an amazing piece of music. And I once watched someone practicing it for what felt like the whole summer in 2004 when I came back from America. There was a masterclass in this tiny French village where I was staying. And every day I would go and watch this student learning it with a sort of master player. And it was the most fascinating thing ever. I loved it. They pulled this piece apart every day. I became obsessed with it. There's an absolutely nothing going nowhere story, but I've told you now.
Andrew O'Connor.
All right, fine. Copycats.
Well, if you enjoyed today's Dick Fight, rest assured there will be more tomorrow.
Yeah.
Each day, every day, yes. We've got
a
fun
grinding,
computer.
Torpid
Forget
certainty.
Whatever's going on outside your window, in here, we'll be having lots of fun with all the terrible things that happened in the past.
Yes.
It's not so bad now. The past is usually worse.
Yeah, that's true. Let's hope it stays that way. Right.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.